If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Welcome again. It's your boy, Darren Green, host of The Darren Green Show, your weekly dose of pop culture news, music, social media gossip, and a whole lot more. We have a very extensive show. Okay. This might go over an hour and I'm here for it, child, because we have a lot to get into. There's a lot to talk about, a lot of important topics to talk about, a lot of serious topics to talk about. And then we also got to get into the mess, of course. So you already know this. You know what you're getting into when you're listening to The Darren Green Show. Okay. First of all, I hope you guys are safe, alive, and this snowstorm has started. I'm recording this on Sunday, so it is snowing. I'm looking outside. The snow is snowstorm in the room with us. I'd say for me in my city and where I'm at, no, but I understand that there's people across the East Coast that are, you know, it probably is worse for you, and hopefully you are safe and you stocked up. The people in my town, child, y'all big bags, ate all the goddamn eggs, honey. I literally did some last minute shopping yesterday because I was so mad. Screw you, Walmart, because you bitches, you bitches sat there and closed curbside pickups until Tuesday. Like, first of all, there was no snow on the ground on Saturday. Let's be very clear. There was no snow on the ground. At first I had it delivered because I was being lazy and I didn't want to go to the store and get the stuff. But then y'all delayed my order. Y'all made me cancel it so that I can just get it again and get it picked up. And they talk about something. Oh, you can't get it until Tuesday. You can't pick it up until Tuesday. I'm like, bitch, the storm is going to be over by then. What is the point? And I knew I wasn't going to go to Walmart because I knew that place was going to be just flooded with just hysteria and stupid people just buying all the waters. They didn't even have waters available online, so I knew them cases of waters was gone. I went to a neighboring ShopRite. Okay, nobody really was there. Everything I needed was there. There was some people that took all the damn eggs. I had to get three cartons because usually I get the large eggs with the three rows. I don't know how many eggs that is. Math. Don't be mathing over here, child. Don't judge me. But I had to get two of them thing. I had to get three cartons, child. I'm like, girl, I'm used to getting my large eggs. But anyway, that was a fiasco. I'm glad I got done with that in the morning and came back home to work on this show. But girl, it all that for this, honey. Anyway, if you guys have stayed this long, be sure to leave your thoughts in the comments. Smash that like button. And if you're not already subscribed to the channel by now, girl, what is going on? Subscribe to the goddamn channel. And for the audio listeners, hey, be sure to leave a rate and review. We love those. And to give a carousel of what we're talking about today, we got to get into what's happening in Minneapolis, Minnesota. You already know there was another person that was shot and killed by ICE agents. We'll get into that. We'll also talk about Fabio Foreign. He recently did an interview with DJ Academics and he tried to whack 21 Savage. Now, of course, Savage responded. We'll have more of that coming up. Drake tries to beat a dead horse by attempting to appeal his defamation suit against Universal Music Group. I'm sorry. Did they call you a pedo or did Kendrick call you a pedo? But anyway, I digress. Meghan Trainor stirred up some conversation about surrogacy and they was coming for her because she had a surrogate child and she was taking pictures posing like she had the damn child. I don't know why people are mad about that. We also got to talk about some Oscar wins or Oscar, not wins, honey. We're not there yet. Oscar nominations and Oscar snubs, all that and more coming up on The Darren Green Show. Now this is The Darren Green Show. Okay, so we have to get serious. I usually talk, I mean, this is not even politics. It's just like the fate of humanity at this point. This is, I mean, I wanted to talk about this at the end, but, you know, with the whole Don Lemon situation and update on what's going on with these protests. But this situation happened. Another federal agent related shooting has happened in Minneapolis. And once again, it turned deadly. A ICU nurse by the name of Alex Pretty was seen being attacked by ICE agents and later shot multiple times. Now, Homeland Security claims that he had a firearm with the intent to agitate ICE agents. When the video clearly shows, and we're not going to share it on here because it's really graphic, but it clearly shows a woman being pushed and him trying to get the woman away so she is safe. And then that's when the ICE agents start to berate him. I mean, they beat him to a pulp. They beat him down in cold blood and shot him multiple times in cold blood. Didn't ask for any medical relief after the situation happened. They literally shot this man and then they dispersed. They shot this man in cold blood and then they dispersed. And for the life of me, this conversation of, oh, he had a gun on him. He had a gun. Where is the gun present with us? Is it in the videos? There's so many different angles. There's so many different alternate videos that did not show that. That did not show him having a gun. You know what he had on him? A phone. Recording. That's what he had. And for the life of me, I feel like we've completely lost the plot. We've lost the plot. At this point, it's not about immigration anymore because they're not, this is a protest that happened and ICE agents is just murking the people that are in protest. This has nothing to do with immigration anymore. You know, this is scaring Americans into not protesting and to be very fearful of our government. That's what it's about. That's what it's always been about. And I'm pretty sure this administration is going to give that same old tired formulaic excuse. But the facts are the facts. And that man did not have any charges other than parking tickets. Now, it was confirmed that he does have a license to carry. He has a permit license. So maybe he did have a gun on. Perhaps he did have a gun on him. He was exercising his right. I mean, legally. So for them to sit there and paint this picture also, he was a nurse. He was an ICU nurse that worked with veterans. There's like video footage of him giving prayer to a lost person that was in the ICU. I mean, they're going to try to find a way to make him look crazy, to make him look, and they can't find it. All they can say is, oh, he had a gun and he had the intent, this, that, and third. No, it's not working. He took it upon himself to record, or he took it upon himself to put a mirror to the government. And that's what happens. That's what happens. You get killed in cold blood. This is the country that we live in now. And then the shit that pissed me off, and we're going to listen to a little bit of this, child. The goddamn Secretary of Homeland Security. Listen to this person, because I'm really choosing my words wisely. This is what she had to say.
An individual approached U.S. Border Patrol officers with a 9mm semi-automatic handgun. The officers attempted to disarm this individual, but the armed suspect reacted violently. Fearing for his life and for the lives of his fellow officers around him, an agent fired defensive shots. Medics were on the scene immediately and attempted to deliver medical aid to the subject, but he was pronounced dead at the scene. Suspect also had two magazines with ammunition in them that held
medical aid. They tried to administer medical aid. No, the motherfuckers dispersed like this girl.
Dozens of rounds. He also had no ID. This looks like a situation where an individual arrived at the scene to inflict maximum damage on individuals and to kill law enforcement.
Now listen to this part.
They have allowed to happen. Yes.
The White House has labeled the man who was killed in Minnesota as a domestic terrorist. Is that something you agree with? And have you seen any evidence to
when you perpetuate violence against a government because of ideological reasons and for reasons to resist and perpetuate violence? That is the definition of domestic
terrorism. We have such a cloudy definition or description of what a domestic terrorist is. The domestic terrorist inflicts harm onto mass groups of people. This person literally sat there and defended a woman that was being struck by the fucking ICE agents with a phone in his hand, and he got attacked and brutally murdered. I mean, all that, and he gets labeled a terrorist, a domestic terrorist. These types of situations, if we keep on fighting back and if we keep on protesting, these situations are going to keep on happening, and they're going to spin the narrative. They're going to spin and spin the narrative. And it's so painful to watch, because this could happen over here where I live. This could happen in my hometown. This could happen in your hometown. This could happen anywhere. This is not just the immigration thing, because I know a lot of people say they didn't vote and they did this, and this ain't my fight, this, that, and the third. It's at everybody's doorstep right now. This is another white man. You get what I'm saying? So anybody can get it at this point. Anybody. Nobody's safe. So the longer that these people are around, the more damage they're going to cause to these cities. And this is a scare tactic, another example to try to make, just like with Renee Good, make an example so that the people do not protest. That's all this is. That's all this is. It was always more than just immigration. And then my thing is, if they meet their goals and they sit there and do what they do, deport everybody that they intend on deporting, what they gonna do next? This agency is not gonna go nowhere as long as Trump's here. There's a lot of people calling for the eradication of ICE, and I hope it goes through. I believe they're trying to make a bill or an act or something like that. So hopefully that works. And I have nothing else to say, child, but we do have to move on. I was going to talk about the Don Lemon thing, but I mean, he got off. Those protesters also were the protest leaders. They got out. They were initially arrested and they got out. So shout out to them. Bombs to them. And I still see that they are doing demonstrations, and definitely they were a part of that 50,000 people protest that's happening over there in Minneapolis. So more power to you, and more power to Don Lemon that got off. And Nikki, girl, you can kiss it. Anyway, let's move on and start talking about the mess, child. That's what you came here for. You came here for the mess. I did want to talk about Fabio Foreign for a little bit, because he tried to whack 21 Savage and he got chin checked. He definitely got punked a little bit, to the point where now you're starting to drag Lotto into it and stuff. And I'm just like, Fabio, what's going on? Now, he decided to whack 21 Savage in an interview that he did with the Chipmunk. DJ Academics. Now, listen to what was discussed, okay?
21 Savage is a street, bro.
He's just, bro, stop it.
Street where?
The Atlanta? Foil nigga, just stop it.
In Atlanta?
You could only be a street where you from. Like, it's Montana don't know if you're
that's
a street.
It's not true. It's not true. You're a certain type of and your name and your arm is going to be able to stretch to certain different parts of the world.
No, it's a Savage. States. Savage one of them. Honestly, like, I'm not saying on some instigator. I'm saying
you are
that.
Instigator.
It's not instigator. Because it's really, I feel like I've seen enough, and obviously.
Yeah, so that's what was talked about. And then I guess at one point, 21 Savage responded. He gets on video. This is what he had to say.
Stop saying my mother name. Don't think because I'm trying to change that. Man, y'all down somewhere, man. Straight up. If y'all Walk around with a 38. Don't say nothing to me about the street. Straight up. If you're 35 or older and you've been trying to rap since you was goddamn 17, 16, 15, don't say nothing to me about the street. You don't know nothing about the street. You ain't did nothing in the street. Straight up.
Come on. And my thing is, I don't know why y'all be messing with 21 Savage. They don't mess with nobody, child. Now, this conversation, I mean, I guess it stemmed from 21 Savage's initial speaking of the streets, like basically denouncing it and saying that he don't mess with the streets no more. And I guess there's been people that's been feeling the way about what he said. I mean, he denounces that culture. What is the freaking problem? It's these rappers that you're not even in it no more, child. You performative as fuck. Because you're trying to perform and put off this facade that you are this street dude when really you a performer, nigga. Fabio? Now, anyway, Fabio did respond. He was like, oh, I said what I said. No back and forth. N-word, who said F the streets? N-word, bitch, eat a pussy. Okay, he told 21 Savage to eat a peen. He continues by bringing in Lotto because apparently Lotto and 21 Savage, I mean, he confirms what Fabio, you dropping exclusives and shit. Like, okay, so Lotto and 21 Savage may be a thing. So he posted a freestyle of her when she said, oh, I might let him hit this at a third as a verse. Lotto don't respond to. She said, spoiler alert, it was strictly to go viral. We never effed. Top five freshman freestyle 6 years later, clock it. And then he ended up going back and forth too. He was like, oh, I dubbed her and this, that, and I'm like, nigga, first of all, are you beefing with goddamn 21 Savage? Are you beefing with Lotto? What is going on? Why are we really, you get what I'm saying? So that interview was very messy too, because he was talking about like Cardi B and Offset and saying he weird, this, that, and third. I'm like, why are these rappers be pillow talking? You doing everything but making a rap and making a song that's going to be a hit. The lack of good music. And y'all are just sitting there going back and forth and not really to 21 Savage, because 21 Savage is being reactive. He's reacting to the bullshit. But Fabio, you sound like a cheerleader, high school cheerleader in some girl drama. Sit your ass down. You got 30 minutes. Like, drill is done. I don't care how you dice it, how you slice the bitch, drill is done. So you need to figure out a way to pivot. So I guess you're going to do Hot Topics. I guess that's what we're going to do. Y'all would tell me what y'all think about this mess in the comments, child. Now, in other news, child, what's going on with TikTok, child? Because I've been hearing some things and they saying that the government done made a deal with TikTok and they're going to be doing some changes and all this other stuff. And it's really affecting people and stuff like that. Let me just read this little excerpt from the Baller Alert, child. They say that TikTok users' takeover triggers massive privacy shift. New terms allow tracking of exact GPS, race, and health data. Okay, so TikTok's privacy policy updated forced U.S. users to accept new terms, raising concerns about the GPS tracking and sensitive data collection. The newly formed TikTok USD Joint Ventures LLC, a group of investors including Oracle, has taken the reins to satisfy U.S. government demands. However, the fine print of the updated privacy policy has sparked immediate alarm as the app expands its data harvesting capabilities far beyond 15-second dance clips. One of the most jarring updates involved a shift from general city-level tracking to granular monitoring. While the old privacy policy stated current versions of the app do not collect precise or approximate GPS information from the U.S. users, the new privacy policy explicitly changes the game. If you choose to enable location services for TikTok app with your device settings, we collect approximate and precise location information from your device. Beyond exact coordinates, the new terms have raised red flags for those concerned about sensitivity data points. Users are pointing out that the platform now has the framework to track deeply personal identifiers, including demographics, race, religion, religious beliefs, and citizenship and immigration status. And that ain't no damn surprise. Identity, sexual orientation preference, and whether the user identifies as transgender or non-binary. Health, mental and physical health diagnosis. The update also brings AI into the spotlight under a new policy. every interaction with the app's AI tools is recorded. So, and then they did all this very recently because I'm over here, I was flipping through TikTok and I'm like, I can't look at people's comments. I can't look at the sounds. I can't even see my notifications of people liking my stuff and child. Like I'm over here trying to refresh. I'm thinking my Wi-Fi down. I'm like, what is going on? So no, y'all are fucking up the algorithm. That's what it sounds like. Y'all are fucking up the algorithm and y'all are getting data on people. Isn't this the reason why we banned TikTok in the first place? Oh, it's not cool when they do it, but it's cool when we do it. You know, that's what that sounds like. I don't think I'm going to be on this app that long. I mean, it's definitely going to turn into Meta Instagram. I can see this. I mean, them looking into people's demographic, if they're non-binary, if they're trans, if they're their sexual orientation, black or whatever. This is going to be another way for them to suppress viewership, especially if you talk about important topics like politics and what's going on in this country. I hate when an app that was once a really good thing, you know, they get bought out. And then it just becomes like the rest of the slop that's on the internet, like Meta and Instagram and all that stuff. So it's just very unfortunate. We're about to mourn the loss of TikTok again, but not in the way like it was last year when we was like literally kicked off the app. But we're going to start to see the decline and some people, they're going to target people's viewership. I mean, I've already gotten hit with a lot of stuff, child. They shadow banned me like crazy over there now, child. They, the last little check they gave me, they was like, all right, you got your little 200. Now we gonna suppress shit even more. I'm cool with it though. We over here, we big on YouTube, okay? We big on other platforms and we gonna keep things going and all that stuff, okay? Now, let's move on. I feel like we're just like flying through the show. I do want to talk about the Oscar noms, okay? Because we did get Oscar nominations for this year's Oscars. I do think that Sinners, I believe, got 16 nominations. They got it, including Best Picture, Best Director, Best Original Screenplay. Michael B. Jordan, who led the film with Smoke and Stack, scored his first Oscar nomination. So Best Male Actor. Delroy Lindo. Okay, I remember him from Crooklyn. Okay, he played Daddy off Crooklyn. He's Best Supporting Actor. So the sky is really the limit. And I hope Michael B. Jordan, like I said, I've been very critical of him with his acting chops. I think that he did really well here. And I hope that I'm not going to say they're going to sweep the damn award show because they always want to try. They always want to give us a couple. But I hope that Michael B. Jordan, at least Delroy, gets what they definitely deserve because they definitely played the hell out of that role. And I find it so funny, too, that now that they got these 16 nominations, everybody on the internet saying, oh, my God, this movie's not even all that. Like, y'all, I hate award season with a passion. Because there are people, they did that shit with Doechii. When Doechii dropped her Alligator Bites Don't Heal or whatever, I think that's what the album's called. They literally, that album was literally ignored. And the people that got into it and the people that didn't get into it, didn't get into it. Okay. It earned herself. She got a Grammy off of it. And now people saying, oh, she's undeserving. This shit is trash. Same thing y'all did with Sinners. Everybody watched Sinners. Everybody had their moments. Everybody was like, oh my goodness, like the memorable one-liners that was on that damn movie and stuff. Like people was liking the show, liking the movie. No one said it wasn't all that. But the moment they start getting the awards, the nominations, it's like, this movie not even all that. This movie not even. And it'd be people of color saying this shit. I'm just like, okay, if you didn't feel like that, I wish you would have felt like that when it first came out. A lot of people liked the film. And now that it's getting the accolades that you may think that, oh, I feel like this movie. I mean, and let's be very clear. There's enough nominations to go around. Marty Supreme got a lot of nominations. I mean, but it's a problem because Sinners basically, I mean, they have more nominations. It's the most nominated movie of the year. It was a tough year. It was a very bad year for movies. Okay, so if I had to say what was the best movie of that year, I only went to the movies about, let's say, 4 or 5 times. I went to see Fantastic Four. I was unimpressed. Superman, unimpressed. I went to see Wicked. We'll get into Wicked in a little bit. And then I saw Sinners. I think Sinners was the best out of that. And like I said, I'm going to watch Marty Supreme. I'm going to see what it gives. I'm not going to pay for it, child. I'll just let you know, child. I'm either waiting till that shit go on streaming or I'm going to find me a little site but I'm gonna check it out. But I'm pretty sure it probably was not better. And I don't care what none of y'all have to say. And y'all try to come for me in the comments like, you didn't watch it. So how do you, when a movie has cultural impact and everybody's talking about it, that's how everybody was with Sinners. So yes, they deserve their 16 nominations. How I feel about Wicked for Good being snubbed. I like to think that I'm surprised at that outcome. But when you look into it, when you get into the meat and potatoes, like the Oscars historically or typically, I say typically because they did award Spider-Man 2. I think Spider-Man 2 did get an Oscar award, I think Best Picture. But typically they don't award sequels. And that's why I say, or why I said in the past, that I feel like Wicked should have been just one movie. And they could have just fleshed out, because even with Wicked for Good, it was a lot of scenes. I mean, I'm not going to lie, like looking back after the hype is all down for me watching the movie, it was a lot of filler. It was a lot of filler. I think they added two new original songs. It was not as good as Act One. Even like I said, even when it comes to actually watching the musical, Act One, there you don't follow up from Act One. Like, I wanted to leave. Like, it was, I feel like everything was concluded. Everything worked up to The Wizard of Oz. Act Two was just messy. It was messy and it really didn't have a clear direction and it really didn't stick the landing. So that's probably why they didn't get nominated. I think they should have at least got at least best costume design. I feel like that's kind of bad because the costuming in Wicked for Good was freaking phenomenal. Let's be very clear on that. And the fact that Marty Supreme got nominated for that best costume design, Marty Supreme, the motherfuckers was dressing like the outfits looked like they came from Zara. Like, are you kidding me? Best costume design, really? They said weapons got snubbed. I didn't really see that. I know Avatar, what is it, Wave of Fire or Shit of Fire or Ashes and Dust, Dust to Dust, whatever the hell, that third Avatar movie got snubbed as well. And I'm happy about it. Fuck Avatar. Okay. I cannot stand them damn blue people. I'm sick of it. It was a good first movie when it like some movies just need to just stay one movie. What is wrong with you people? Y'all that money hungry. Y'all that money hungry. You're milking the goddamn cow. I'm not watching this Ash of Fire at Fire Ash or whatever the hell that damn shit is called. It looked trash. And I can't keep up. I couldn't keep up with The Way of Water. I'm like, this is just too much, child. Anyway, let me not dwell on that, honey. But I do want to move on and talk about Meghan Trainor. Okay, because she starts a conversation. She didn't willingly start a conversation. Meghan Trainor is expanding her family because they have a baby girl at home and she was born via surrogate. Okay. Now the people were clowning her because she took a picture of her, like she was like shirtless under a towel holding the child. And it kind of gave the, I wouldn't say it gave the illusion, but it gave the idea that she had the child. Like if you didn't know that she had a surrogate child, you would think that she had the child. And people were like clowning her for it. And then it turned into this big conversation on TikTok talking about, oh, I feel she should, that this is unethical and all this other. It became this big conversation about surrogacy. And I just have this question, like, where did this come from? Where did this conversation come from? I think that I was talking to my best friend about this because I like to talk to people about the topics before I get into it. What is the big deal of, what is the big problem? Because when I hear a lot of conversations surrounding it, it's, oh, it's Handmaid's Tale. Handmaid's Tale, those girls were having these children against their will. These people are getting paid like almost $90,000 to $100,000 a baby. So where do you get Handmaid's Tale? I mean, there's people that even said, I feel like if you can't biologically have a child, then you shouldn't have one. I'm like, wow, golly. I don't think it's unethical. I think that when using IVF to get like twins and shit like that and get other alterations, if you want, like, I think that's where it becomes unethical because problems do occur and it can have some long lasting effects, of course. But if you're using IOF, IOF child. If you're using IVF to save your eggs so that you can have a child later, or if you're a queer couple that uses in vitro and uses a surrogate, or in this case, in Meghan Trainor's case, she didn't want to have a damn child. She didn't want to have it like physically. She wanted to have a surrogate. And I think that's okay. And I think that we're just at a point where we just like to judge people, and we just care about things that are natural. And oh my God, like, I need people to actually go outside and touch grass. I need y'all to go outside and touch grass. Let people do what they do. Cause people gonna do what they like. You can't stop this. You cannot stop freaking the future. Honestly. Cannot be done. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I never understood why people looked at it so unethically, but that's just my little thoughts on the matter, child. Now, I did want to talk about Drake, because Drake, oh, silly rabbit. Now, he tries to appeal the defamation suit that he has against Universal Music Group. Now, here, I'm going to read this excerpt from the Jasmine Brand. Nearly 3 months after a federal judge tossed his defamation lawsuit tied to Kendrick Lamar's Not Like Us, the superstar rapper has officially taken his fight to the appeals court in effort to resurrect this case. In a newly filed opening brief, Drake argues that Lamar's Grammy-winning track goes far beyond rap theatrics, claiming it presents as fact an allegation that he is certified pedophile. The filing accuses the Universal Music Group of aggressively marketing the song in a way that misled the public and caused serious damage to his reputation, insisting the claim is specific, provable, and not protected opinion. Now, Drake also warns that letting the lower court ruling stand could set a dangerous precedent. According to his brief, classifying diss tracks as automatically immune from defamation claims create loopholes that shield artists and record labels, no matter how severe or explicit the accusation. He argues the court effectively ruled the rap lyrics can never be factual, regardless of context. The appeal challenges an October decision by the U.S. District Judge Dionette Vargas, who concluded that Lamar's lyrics were not actionable opinions rooted in the context of the heated rap battle. Vargas wrote that a responsible listener would not interpret the song as conveying verifiable facts, describing it as part of an exchange filled with extravagant insults from both artists. Drake, however, says that the repeated reference in the song, paired with the wildly circulated cover art and viral visuals, blur the line, making the allegations feel real enough to warrant the jury's review. His legal team is now asking the appeals court to revive the lawsuit and send it back for trial, arguing the issue should not have been dismissed outright. Drake originally sued Universal Music Group last January, notably not Kendrick Lamar, accusing the label of pushing the track in the way to portray him as a criminal. How long are we going to keep doing this, Drake? How long are we going to keep doing this? Hang it the fuck up. Like, your Karen is showing. Your Karen is goddamn showing. Oh, my goodness. We don't really think that you're a pedophile. I mean, you do have questionable behaviors with minor children. Yes, you were hanging around Millie Bobby Brown and shit. You get what I'm saying? But nobody thinks you are, like, full on. You get what I'm saying? It was in a rap. And my whole thing is, why are you suing Universal Music Group for doing their job? And when a song comes out, you wanted them to basically have him drop the song and not do any promotion, not do anything. This became a smash hit. You cannot stop it. I don't care how much music group paid for radio spins that you're trying to say that they paid for it. You cannot. That song will go down in history as one of the biggest songs of its time, of that year. Let's be very clear. Everybody was rapping it. Even the people that was kind of hating it on Drake's side. Like, no, that was an iconic song. That song, he performed that shit at the Super Bowl. You get what I'm saying? Like, I can understand why Drake could be upset about this, because you don't want to be looked at as that. That's the last thing you want to be looked at as. I get it. But if you're not even trying to sue him, and we know why you're not going to sue him, because he's the one that said it. You want to sit there and sue the company that's just been, they doing their job. When a song comes out, they got to promote it. That's their job. They promoted your stuff. I mean, but it just wasn't, your songs just wasn't memorable. You lost this one. I like to, had it been the other way around, I don't think he would have sued. Let's say whatever Drake dropped, let's say it went dumb viral, not like us. He wouldn't have sued because he would have won. But because you lost, see, that's that fragile ego. That's that real fragile ego. I lost this damn rat beef. So now I'm going to be a Karen and try to get some type of relief off of it. Nothing is stopping for you. You have not lost any brand deals. People still look at you with high regards. I mean, yes, you have KDOT fans that are dragging you, and that's just not going to stop. But what are they going to? I hope they throw this shit out. Everybody always want to appeal. Appeal what? What are you appealing? You have nothing to appeal. It's over. It's done. Move on. Next time, don't get at KDOT if you ain't got the damn ammo to really get it going. Okay. Anyway, I think that is it for this episode. This was kind of a quick little episode. It's a lot of editing, I can tell, child. I can tell by the way I was recording this, child. I was a little bit dazed this morning doing this episode, but hope you guys enjoyed it. And I will be back with the next set of topics. Hopefully, we'll do a weekly app on Wednesday. That's if the topics start to permeate and all that other stuff. And thank you for watching and listening and all that good stuff. Okay. Talk to you guys later.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.